The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes five times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't really think the Cleveland Browns are a good team at all. I think the conditions kind of saved them today.
Here's the handle. Harris is in for the Steeler touchdown. Wilson has it, throws it, got the touchdown. Van Jefferson. When his confidence was riding high, and he made 33 kicks. But this year, it's a different story. Second and 10. Down the middle. When he broke one for 65 yards in the Super Bowl down in Arizona against Philadelphia a couple years. Didn't go for a touchdown, but oh my goodness! Now he's got more explaining to do on the sideline. That is recovered by the same guy who threw the football back. Oh, Skowronek. And the Steelers have themselves a 27-14 victory. To go to 10-3 on the season. The final score here is Pittsburgh 27, Cleveland 14.
Yes, sir, and that carries us right into a Pompeiani Monday. God bless me. If there's a Donnie Football Friday, then there's a Pompeiani Monday, a Bobby Monday. How are you, Bob?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you, Joe, after your birdie at Valley Brook? Pretty good?
Pretty happy.
These conditions?
Pretty happy, Bob. Do you remember Rick Monday?
Absolutely. Yeah. Outfielder for the Dodgers, mostly.
Yeah. Wonderful player.
They had a stacked lineup back in the day when they had Ron Say and
Davey Lopes. Who was the third? Ron Say was the third baseman. Yeah, yep. Steve Yeager.
I'm trying to remember.
Dusty Baker.
Who was the shortstop?
Bill Russell. Davey Lopes at second. Steve Garvey at first. Now he's running for office. I don't even know if he won. Austin City Limits Bechtel to my left. How are you, sir?
Sporting Dave Parker. Look at that.
How about that, Joe? Throwback
Dave Parker
that is
jersey.
Awesome. That is awesome. And a shout out to Dave Parker, a childhood hero of mine. I had his poster in my room as a kid, the Cobra, one of the most intimidating baseball players of all time and one of the greatest five-tool players of all time. He hit for power. He ran like a deer when he was young and healthy at 6'5", whatever he was. And he had a cannon for an arm. He won gold gloves. He won multiple gold gloves plus a batting title. Plus he hit for power.
Didn't he have back-to-back batting titles?
I don't remember, Bob.
Two in a row, I think. And yeah, I mean, in this day and age, we saw the Juan Soto contract yesterday. What do you think Dave Parker would have commanded in his heyday?
That's one thing I think about. The other is Dave Parker on steroids. Can you imagine if he came along in the steroid era? He would have been the biggest monster. He would have made Barry Bonds look like city limits at 145 pounds. Dave Parker on steroids would have hit 8 million home runs, Bob. But
just
I'm glad
a
to see
a great five-tool talent, and I'm glad to see it, too. And everything, you know, the fact that he's been dealing with Parkinson's disease, and the fact is he now has some time to enjoy this. you know, you never know what your future holds, but
yes.
I hate when I see situations. Excuse my throat. I don't know, a frog in my throat. Wait.
That's okay, Bob. And God bless you today.
Dick Allen didn't get a chance. There are a lot of people posthumously who don't get that chance, you know, so.
Yeah, I'm really happy for him. But we begin today, of course, with the Steelers. And let's get this out of the way right away, Bob, because I'm going to say right now, I don't know what's happening. I'm assuming that George Pickens was hurt, but I'm listening to the morning show. I'm reading tweets from our very own Josh Rountree. I'm hearing Mike Prisuta on the flagship station, wondering at least if Pickens was actually hurt, if he missed the game because of injury. I'm just an innocent bystander here. I do have to laugh when people automatically write this off as you know, hallucinations and media and everything else. Come on, nobody out there would be surprised if this was a disciplinary thing. Tomlin has already disciplined Pickens this season. And the other thing is that Tomlin, like all professional sports coaches, lies through his teeth to the media every week, which means he lies to you, the fans, every week and admits it. And good for him. He benched Pickens earlier this season and never admitted it. So let's get out of the way the idea, oh my God, what a conspiracy theory. This is insane. It's the media. No, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I hear people that I trust wondering about it. That's all. And then I heard Jerry Dulac after the game say that he had heard it was a grade 2 hamstring strain, I believe he phrased it. This is via Crowley. Hopefully Crowley got this one right. I think he did, Bob. I trust Crowley. So I'm going to assume he's injured, but my ears are a little bit perked when I hear people talking about that. Based on history, based on Pickens' history, based on wide receiver history here, based on people saying that Tomlin told Fox or CBS before the game, I didn't hear this, that Pickens should be ready to go. I'm just wondering, that's all. What are you hearing? What do you think?
What I think is he has an injury. And I think it happened late. It could have happened, for all I know, on the punt that he made after he got a touchdown in Cincinnati.
Oh,
I don't
my
know.
God.
Maybe
can
that
you
was
imagine
it.
If yeah. that was it?
Well, I mean, stranger things have happened. I think he is injured. I think they made a decision. And listen, it came right down to the game day. I think if they were really going to discipline him, they wouldn't have carried out this elaborate thing where Scotty Miller's not expecting to play, and then 10 minutes before inactives are listed, he's all of a sudden told you better dress. So I think they did go through, and I think they're trying to be prudent with him. I don't have any information that it's anything beyond that. I don't think they'd be helping their own cause if George Pickens doesn't play in critical games. I think they want to make sure he's available down the stretch when it matters most. So this is something, and I believe this is the case, that he has some sort of hamstring. It may not be a big one or one that can sideline him, but they don't want to make it worse. They've gone through this with Russell Wilson with, you know,
yeah.
different things. You got to make sure guys are healthy at the right time of the year, and I think that's what this is.
I'm going to stand with you on that, Bob, but I will say my ears are perked for further information.
After all,
was the savvy old news hound once upon a time, and the day Antonio Brown was suspended for that Bengals game all those years ago, I was the one to pipe up in the post game to ask Mike Tomlin, because Ed Bouchette had told me on our pre-show, he told me that is not, Antonio is not hurt. Something's brewing there. So I asked Tomlin after the game, you know, by the way, it was kind of a big game. Where was Antonio? And of course, he gave the runaround because he didn't think everybody knew that something was up with Antonio. Turned out it was just a little problem with Antonio.
Just
right?
a little.
Right?
Which got bigger and bigger. I think George Pickens knows that they're not happy with the way he conducts himself on some of these things. I do think that. And I think that's something you have to weigh when you're dealing with future money involved in his contract. So, but I also know that they know how important he is. And I think if you watch yesterday's game, like I did, especially in the first half, you came away thinking the value of George Pickens just went up.
Oh, my God. I wrote that it was a George Pickens infomercial. Now, those guys, they did a nice job. Don't get me wrong.
They did.
But it was against the Browns. But hold on one sec. Hold on one sec. Do we have a disclaimer? Let's have a disclaimer. Bob, for everything we say today about Scotty Miller, the offense, anything that happened, we need a disclaimer that says, very simply in your best radio TV voice,
yes, but it was only against the Bengals.
Right. If we could switch that to yes, but it was only the Browns. A little bit shorter today.
Yes, but it was only the Browns.
I love it. Presto tweets us and says, if it's a grade 2 And I'll throw in, as apparently Dulac said, according to Crowley, why is it a game time last second decision? Ooh, nice question.
It is.
Maybe he aggravated it in the pregame? I don't know.
I don't know. Those are things that I really think they tried to work, and I think it was done indoors. I don't think he did it on the outside. Maybe he did. Maybe he took a trip out there, but I think they wanted to see where it was. And again,
I'm standing with you, Bob.
I don't know what to say, and I'm not going to be one of these people who throw out something that I don't know, because I don't know.
Right.
So,
but there's people that I've learned to trust in the media
sure.
who are at
and
least
have,
skeptical.
And they have
of
good
this.
Information, and it takes a while for that information to come out. Because
yes, I'm with you. Bob, I'm standing with you, locked arm in arm, but with a healthy skepticism moving forward, or at least my ears are right. perked to see what else may come out. But I'm with you. And then we get to the story of the game, to me at least, which was the Steelers without Pickens. And you just said it. Yes, it was a George Pickens infomercial. Give me my money at the end of the year, please, with Tomlin after the game. Like mocking the idea that they're all good after Pickens at receiver? Really? You have that many three and outs against the Kansas City Chiefs in Arrowhead ball game, probably. Okay? You function like that. You think Scotty Miller's going to get open like that and catch sideline fades, you know, against the Chiefs, even against the Chargers? Come on. Do we have the disclaimer already? Have you taped it already? It's only the Browns, Bob. They functioned okay in the end and got a needed win in the end against a crap team. That ain't going to work in the playoffs, and hopefully it won't have to. But I think the story of this game to me was, A, they needed to win and got the job done. Good. And B, wow, is George Pickens important to the Steelers?
No question about it, and that's my takeaway as well. I thought, and give a lot of credit here to Russell Wilson having confidence in guys to make him those throws, and Scotty Miller made a nice one, Van Jefferson, and the one and only target he got, made a nice read, got to open space. I thought the best throw of the day was Wilson to Freiermuth. He looked left, and
great throw.
Right, tremendous down the middle, split two guys, but he trusts those guys, and as a result, they're making plays, and I think there's a lot to be said for that. But you're right. When you take on the Eagles, when you take on the Chiefs, when you take on the Ravens in their place, you better have playmakers. You better have guys who do it not once a game, but seven times a game.
I mean, they didn't score a touchdown with Pickens against the Ravens. Let's hear Tomlin after the game. Meantime, something just popped up here. Lucas Boyd tweets us, Bob. Challenge. Fan who caught the Muth TD punt needs it signed for Christmas. Is this the guy, Lucas Boyd? Do you think that's him, Wonder Twin?
I don't know if he's saying yes or that the fans should get it signed for Christmas.
He sounds to me like he's an in-between agent. Like he knows someone.
Yeah,
wants to get
me
it done,
too.
And
yeah.
He's going to get a cut or whatever. He gets it. Who knows what they're doing?
Lucas Boyd, any relation
you
to Tyler?
You know what, though? Did you see the flight of that? If you had a Pro Tracer technology,
no.
It was a high.
Was it looked like
oh,
good
it was
form.
A great form.
Yeah.
He must have punted before.
He must have. That was really good.
It
hopefully
was better than the Pickens punt, I can tell
hopefully
you that.
He didn't strain a hamstring while punting that ball, Bob. Was that a tribute to George, by the way?
Might have been.
Someone else just tweeted me. That's the first thing I thought. It was a tribute to,
those
to
guys are,
old George.
Those guys hang around. So does Najee with them. So, you know, it could have been. Although he knew what he was doing, and he was going to, you know that there's a fine involved and all that other stuff comes with it. But he was pumped up.
Off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. We have all kinds of treats. It's me, he says. Lucas Boyd says, it's me. I'm the fan.
Where were you sitting, Lucas Boyd? We need to get the information.
Call limits at 412-928-9370, and you're going to have to prove it somehow. Either show him the football on your phone or something. Right, limits?
Yeah, let's do that. And we know people that know Pat. Pat is a big fan of the morning show.
So watch out, Lucas. We know people here. We can sniff this out in a hurry. He says he has a cool story. Yes, call in, he says. In the meantime, Bob, it seems a little early here for I told you so's after beating the Cleveland Browns. And by the way, the Steelers struggled a little bit more than I thought they would. I picked 34-13. Yeah.
The defense had to administer the wake-up call with that Benton interception, because other than that, they weren't really doing much offensively.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm ready for some Mike Tomlin I told you so's yet about the receivers behind George Pickens. God bless them. The Browns are banged up a little bit in the secondary. Plus, they stink. And the Steelers made some plays eventually after Jameis Winston, Dr. Jameis and Mr. Hyde, threw it to Keanu Benton on a screen pass, Bob. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me on that pass?
Well, that's what Jameis Winston does once in a while. You know, he'll throw things where he shouldn't throw things. He's capable of making the three, like what he did to Judy, stepping up, avoiding traffic, and then it becomes clear to him. But, you know, the bottom line is that's it's a very risky play. I don't know where he was trying to throw it because I didn't know who the intended receiver there. Everybody was bunched together there.
Well, last week he said he prayed for deliverance from pick sixes. I guess that prayer came true. This week he should include in his prayers deliverance from throwing screen passes to nose tackles, Bob. Do you think?
But I got to give credit to Benton. He knew what was going
Great
on in
play.
That play. He,
yeah.
went, he read it, moved left, and made the play. So,
all right.
And also Beanie Bishop came in and jumped like 50 inches off the ground. Did you see that? And I think that affected Jameis Winston also. Yes, he did. He was blitzing, and he just looked like he had one of those springs that you use. What are those things called that you hop along and they...
Trampolines.
No, like a stick.
Pogo stick,
right. He looked like he had a pogo stick, and he was jumping in the air. He got in his face a little bit, and I think it influenced his throw.
It could have been a trampoline, Bob, and I thought your correction of limits was unduly harsh.
You don't have a trampoline in the middle. I'm just saying it...
I know I'm better than this. I know. I'm like,
but
I'm
it was
just
a trampoline effect, Bob. It was,
as if he
is that what he said?
I know I'm better than this.
I don't know.
I know.
Bob.
I'm just praying for the Lord to deliver me from pick sixes.
The Lord happened. There was no pick sixes.
Do the powers above have more important things to worry about than whether Jameis Winston throws pick sixes?
Yes.
I tend to think so, but who am I? But again, this week he needs to include and also, if I might add, a special request, please deliver me from throwing screen passes to nose tackles. I'd really appreciate that. Lucas Boyd says he has a video of this. Did you see it, Limits?
No, but he is on hold.
Oh,
is he the actual guy?
Yeah.
You sure?
I vetted him as best that I possibly could over the phone.
Bob, would you like to bring in Lucas Boyd? He's a man who claims he caught the Freiermuth punt
That's
celebration.
Right. One of the biggest moments of yesterday's game was Pat Freiermuth and the big 20-yard touchdown, followed by the punt, and it landed in the hands of Lucas Boyd, who we welcome now to Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. So, Lucas, you got to prove it to us. Happy holidays.
Mr. Joe, Mr. Pump, thanks for having me on the show. Can you guys hear me?
Yes,
loud
sir.
And clear, yes.
I was sitting there, section, I think it was C-138, row C, seat 910. I've got the ball. I've got a video of it. The woman behind us actually took the video, and I was just perplexed that it jumped in my hands. We were sitting down in the PNC Champions Club beforehand. I caught a field goal pregame and had to get that ball back. And
I have a quick question.
Wow, that's two balls in one day.
It was incredible.
Watch it, Bob. Lucas, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
And I'm not doubting you at all, just maybe a little bit. Why haven't you posted this video on your Twitter account or your X account?
I didn't know if I could walk out of the stadium with it.
Well, why haven't you posted it yet?
I can post it for you right now.
This makes me think of the Franco Harris
this is
immaculate
like the
reception
conspiracy.
Ball. You know how the guy and he, Mr. Baker had it for a long time. But that back then, when Harris scored, no one knew just how significant that play was in their history of the game.
Yeah.
They didn't have netting behind, you know, the field goal thing. So he's sitting there, got it, escorted out, had it for all these years, and eventually made a nice gesture to Joe Hardy on his 100th birthday. But the fact is, nobody knew how much that ball was worth. Not that this is going to be worth a lot. I hate to do that to you,
right,
Lucas.
Right.
But, you know,
it's a memory.
But it's a memory. It's for you, it's a memory. And so if you have it, you verify it, we can get Pat to do it.
Wow. Listen to that offer, Lucas.
I just sent it. I would love that, Mr. Pompiani. I'd appreciate that. I'd love to have him and Russ, maybe.
Now he throws in Russ. How about Tomlin?
Russ.
You want Tomlin? How about Mahomes when he comes to town? You want Mahomes to sign the
dangerous?
Ball?
He was cooking. He was cooking, and I've got to have the chef sign the ball as well.
Bob, I actually admire that ask. It's easier to, what is it, ask for forgiveness than beg for permission. I like the ask.
Good.
Can you give him that too?
Well, I don't know about that. I've known Pat a lot longer than I know Russ. I don't know. I could ask and see what happens.
Why don't you ask
Pat? I'm sure
Pat?
Mr. Russ would love to do it. He would help a Yinzer out, a big devout Steelers fan, and that would be an awesome Christmas present for me and my family.
What's going on back there, Limits? I heard you ooing and aahing.
I'm just wowing at the offer. I'm looking at the football right now. That is the football.
Is it?
Well, I mean, it has like the official Steeler logo and the number on it. I'm sure that they can either authenticate it or just...
All right. I like this, Bob. Bob can try to make it
happen. I want more to the story here, Lucas. Was anyone wrestling with you for the ball, or were they all very nice knowing it's your ball? No one tried to tackle you and knock it out, you know?
I've got a video of the whole thing as well. Like I mentioned, the lady behind us was video recording it. And no one really tried to wrestle it, but the people were coming around. I suppose you're not supposed to walk out with the footballs. They want to limit the fights and everything. So we went and we bought a blanket. We put the football in the bag, and we put the blanket over top to steal it, you know, get it out of there.
Bob, I heard Devin Bush tried to tackle him, but he easily avoided the tackle. Lucas, did you catch the ball easily, or what was it? Describe the catch.
I wasn't even looking, and my wife is sitting, you know, she was sitting beside me, and she just goes, "Luke, ball." And I turned, and it fell into my hands, and I tucked it very quickly, and I held it like a little baby.
So clean catch then?
Clean catch. The field goal at the beginning was not. It bounced on the ground, and I caught it on the bounce. This one, though, was a clean catch. I think it hit the roof that's sitting right there by the Champions Club, but I caught it off of that ricochet, and it was clear in my hand.
So in your view, that looked like a good punt to me, was it?
It was a good punt. Yeah,
he didn't
hang time.
Bob.
He had hang time.
For the touchdown. So I didn't even see it. I saw him punt the ball. I wasn't tracking it. I was celebrating. She turns and says, "Luke, ball." And I turned, and it wound up in my arms.
Is there video then of that, of the actual catch?
I've got it, yep.
We got to see that. You have to post that. I mean, I believe you now at this point, but I'd love to see the video. Do you have season tickets there, or was this a one-day thing?
Oh, I wish. That was my wife and my Christmas present to one another. We love season passes. It's just it's hard to afford them nowadays.
Oh, that's true. But you
this
had a great memory. You were
ball.
There at the right time.
Two balls for Lucas on the same day.
On the same day. That's an unusual feat there. So you had a great pre-holiday gift. So... Well, send what you got to send and leave your information with Austin over here, and we'll see what we could do for you.
Thank you, Lucas, for the call. That's awesome.
Heads up, the video's on your timeline now. So appreciate the time, gentlemen. Love the show, and I'll stick around. Thank you.
All right.
Bob, here's the video. Go to Lucas Boyd. Here's the video.
Wait a minute. I got to go to Lucas Boyd. Hold on a minute.
There's Wilson rolling out. There's a beautiful touchdown pass.
O-Y-D.
And then I still think in tribute to George.
Wait a minute. Is it Lucas Boyd or Luke Boyd or what is it? Lucas Boyd 0880?
Just Lucas. Yeah, Lucas.
Underscore?
Yeah, there it is.
There it is.
I see it.
There he is. He did catch it cleanly.
He's wearing a Big Ben jersey.
He looks like Donnie Football. Is this Donnie Football in disguise?
No.
Or not in disguise?
How come I don't see it? Where is it? I'm on Lucas Boyd.
Donnie Football shared a pretty funny story with us yesterday, Joe.
What did he say?
He said that the people sitting behind him at the game were talking about our draft of Browns players all time since 99.
They said after Myles Garrett, they couldn't think of one other Brown since 1999. Incredible.
I don't see it. Why don't I see it?
You will in a second, Bob. Well, this is amazing, and that was very kind of you, Bob, to offer to broker that
situation.
Well,
if you notice, I didn't promise. I said I'll do my best, too, and
I
hope I can.
Well, I just said offer. You did offer. Did I say promise? I don't know.
No.
You didn't make any promises, but you offered.
But I think that's doable. Pat's a very
I think Pat would think
guy.
It was cool. Yeah.
I think he will think it was cool, yes.
That's a hell of a punt. Not as good as Corliss Waitman. How about his last two punts of the day, huh?
Yeah.
Man, was that impressive. All right, so we have two interesting stories. What's up with George Pickens, and is this the real Lucas Boyd? And I think on both, maybe there is no conspiracy theory. Maybe Pickens really is hurt. That would appear to be the case. And maybe Lucas Boyd really did catch that ball, and now we have video proof, Bob. What an opening segment this was.
How about that? You never know what you're going to get here.
There appears to be a very angry man in front of Lucas Boyd who made an attempt at the ball. And this guy's protecting it like Najee on the goal line. Do you have the video yet?
No. I don't know why it's not.
That's baffling to me.
Says go and Lucas replies
Limits.
On his page.
Yeah, I just retweeted it, Bob.
Do you see the angry man in front of Lucas Boyd?
How about the reach though? Already 10 people have liked the video. Now 11 people have liked the video.
How about, you wait a
people
white
are
post
seeing
it.
The video?
How about How about him catching it cleanly? All his wife said was Lucas ball, and he makes essentially a blind catch. What a catch by Lucas Boyd!
What a great throw by Wilson, though. I mean, he put it right between two guys. You're looking from his angle. That's a great punt.
Yeah.
Let's see. Here comes the ball, and yes, Lucas Boyd makes it. Bob, look at that beautiful catch, and now he's protecting it as if it was his newborn.
Yes.
And, yeah, he does have it there. Now he raises his hand and the ball. Boy, that's a risky move there, Lucas. Someone could have come from behind, knocked it free. You know, we like forced fumbles around here.
Two hands. Got to secure it.
Yeah, and then he reaches up to the heavens. Look at this man.
No fumbles.
There appears to be a drunken man near him, but luckily he backed off there, Bob. All right.
I'm gonna tag Pat Freiermuth here, and I'm gonna see what he can do.
There you go. How about this? How about Bob on the case immediately limits, huh?
This is just how good of a man Bob is. This is why he's the Mr. Mount Rushmore, George Washington on Pittsburgh sports media.
And you're the backup.
Don't
here, right?
use George Washington, because George from Washington called me once. And
Bob,
why do you have to do that?
You did this to yourself.
You brought up George. No.
Bob, I would have had no inclination to play that
you
if you didn't bring
it's
it up.
Fair. That's why it's right at your fingertips. Come on now. You have that stuff ready to go.
All right. Let's listen to Tomlin after the game. As I mentioned earlier, I could do without the I told you so's. You found a way to barely beat the Browns once, and I would call that a barely. I would. They got lucky. But they took care of business. Don't get me wrong. They took care of business in the game. But he also butchered the last game in Cleveland, which could have lasting ramifications here as far as a top seed, as far as a home playoff game. So I'm not sure I'm ready to hear that everybody was wrong about the Steelers receivers beyond George Pickens, because as we already know from our disclaimer limits, I don't really care in some ways what anybody did against the Browns, because there's always this truth.
Yes, but it was only the Browns.
There's always that. So let's hear Tomlin after the game scolding the media, Bob.
So this was first Tomlin on George Pickens not wanting to risk any injury further.
GP, you know, was listed as questionable. We didn't feel like he was going to be able to play the type of number of snaps that we thought would be worth putting him in a uniform, to be quite honest with you. We didn't want a small problem to become a big problem. And so we put a helmet on Scotty Miller, and as you can see, most of the time when you put the helmets on the healthy guys, man, they take care of the rest. Scotty made some plays for us, and thankful for that. That's another example of the team component of this game, man. You can waste a lot of time worried about the guys that are unavailable to you. We choose to focus our energies on the guys that are available to us.
All right, now let's hear him expound on those other receivers.
You know, it's what we've been kind of discovering or rediscovering throughout every component of this process. You know, you guys were asking us about our lack of quote-unquote a number two in team development, and the guys made plays. Whoever we throw the ball to makes plays. The strength of the pack is the pack. We got a bunch of guys that want to be the reasons why we're successful. And when given an opportunity, I think they continually prove that, whether it's Scotty or Mike or Calvin or whoever, Van. We believe in our group. I know I've said that to you guys repeatedly. Maybe you'll start believing me.
Maybe not, unless you do it against your upcoming schedule and then perhaps in playoff games. I still think the lack of a true number two, although Austin admittedly has shown signs of it, could come back to haunt you, Bob. For instance, if you have Buffalo in the divisional round, if you watched the game yesterday,
it could be a track meet, and Josh Allen's going to get his points. So you have to.
Exactly.
But Russell Wilson also went there and beat him head to head in a game, even with Denver as his team.
He did.
So
he did.
But yeah, but
I
you need the big time players, and I agree. But I also think, you know, Tomlin has made that message clear to the guys who were there that they're going to get a chance whenever it is, deliver something. They won't deliver what George can deliver. That's the difference.
Of course. And as Romo, I thought, really explained well.
He's high on the Steelers, man, I can tell you.
He mentioned Super Bowl a lot with them.
He certainly did.
Of course, he probably mentioned Super Bowl a lot with about five teams in
Maybe,
the AFC.
But I can tell you,
depending on whose
saw
game
him on
he's
Saturday
doing.
Night, he without anyone asking him. He was one of those guys who just was – he's very, very bullish on what the Steelers have because he believes they have all the components to compete. And, you know, knowing that Kansas City is not the same Kansas City team that I think we've seen in the past.
But let's not bury the lead, Bob. You just dropped another little nugget. Again, you go out to dinner with Romo and Nance?
It's a tradition unlike any other.
What did you order, Bob? I know you're not telling me where you went.
No, it's steak. I'm a steak guy. Or, you know, I like fish.
What did Romo eat?
I think he had filet.
How did he have it cooked?
I don't know that.
What did Nance eat?
Fish.
Tracy Wolfson?
Fish.
What kind of fish?
I don't know. What are you asking me that? I didn't.
Because when I'm out to dinner, I take note of what the other people have. Where did you sit between Romo and Nance?
No. No, we had, and there were, you know, producers, guys in the broadcast who would travel with them.
Yeah.
Some really great people, very talented, I think. I learn a lot just by listening to what they have to go through on a regular basis in these trucks. And if anyone's never seen what it's like to be in a satellite truck down in the, you know, bowels of the arena when this is going on, or bowels of the stadium, it is a fascinating thing.
Limits, as with last time, we each get two questions from Bob's dinner. You go first.
So, Bob, what was the most enticing thing that Nance or Romo said to you about the Steelers?
You know, I can't tell you everything on these things. What I will tell you is that Tony Romo legitimately is into the Pittsburgh Steelers. He thinks they have a chance, you know, based on these next three games. He called it yesterday a must win. And he said that night when we were talking, he said it's a must. The must is because if you beat Cleveland, you set yourself up, give you some insulation, which was, I thought, the first time they played him in Cleveland. They needed that, you know. They needed to win that game, and they didn't. And I thought, man, that's if you know, you lose a game like that, it could hurt you. So far, it hasn't. But I didn't think that would happen again. He thought that was a very important game for them to win.
Has Romo in any of your dinners brought up the horrible day he had at Heinz Field when it was called Heinz Field, when he taunted the Steelers, saying, "You just gave me more time," because they called timeout late in the game in regulation. And then he threw an interception to Deshae Townsend, who returned it for a touchdown. Maybe a top five electric moment in the history of that stadium, non-playoffs.
I remember that, but no, I wouldn't ruin a dinner in the holiday season by bringing up that sort of
memory. Just ask him if he's talked to Deshae Townsend lately. Limits, your second question?
Oh, I'm going back and forth between two different questions because everybody likes to make fun of Tony Romo for going, "Oh, Jim, there goes the football." He doesn't say anything like that at the dinner, right?
No.
Does he have a normal tone of voice, Bob Romo,
you know,
at the dinner?
He's talking mostly about his kids and, you know, how they're playing sports right now, and he loves living their lives through, you know, vicariously through them. So it's all good. They're great guys.
Does Nance and Romo tell golf stories? They love golf. Do you guys talk golf?
Of course.
Can you elaborate on that for a moment, Bob?
No, just that he's passionate about golf.
Who?
Jim.
Yeah. He has a course at his house. Have you played it?
Not a course. No, I want to. That's on my bucket list.
What does he have? Like a certain hole from a certain...
He has the seventh hole at Pebble. Not the same exact hole, but it's
Can you get me into Pebble, Bob?
Here we go. Actually, your request worked last week about Oakmont.
I know.
And I got...
I know
a
it
really
did.
Nice man, Greg, who called me up and said, "Let's do it." And I said, "Okay."
I'm like Lucas Boyd. If you don't ask, you don't get. Bob.
No, that's true. You got to ask, and you get when you do. And I just put up my Lucas Boyd tweet, so we'll see what happens.
I don't know, Bob. I feel like I'm an NFL coach, and I have a Thursday night game or a Wednesday Christmas Day game. Like Tomlin said last week, he didn't even look at the tape before the or whenever it was, you know, when they played the Browns on that Thursday, whatever game they played before that. What else is there to say? I feel like it's look ahead time already. We can take one last look at this one. Like, other than the Pickens situation, what's the big stories here? I've got some questions for you guys about the game, but first I'll throw it to you. What's the big story here that's not a look forward?
I mean, the big story is that Chris Boswell is a massive advantage over the rest of a lot of kickers that we see. Reliable, but it also reminds me of a time when Gary Anderson went through an entire season never missing, all the way through perfect until the playoffs, and then things change. It is a mental game those kickers play, and a lot of these guys like Dustin Hopkins, like even Justin Tucker, are going through it right now, which aids to the Steelers and their chances of advancing. But I think Boswell and his efficiency is huge, and that's a big storyline for me.
Man, are you right about that? I mean, it's sort of... What do you say on
talk? I mean, it's obvious, when you see it all the time and you see other teams missing, then you know how big it is.
What do you say on sports talk radio, you know, that's fun, juicy, provocative, you know, about the kicker. But it's just true. I mean, they've won two games where they didn't score a touchdown. And you're right, Bob. They could beat teams in the playoffs because of this. The Bills they could face, their kicker stinks. Every time he lines up for a kick, I think he's going to miss. I don't care. Like last year, he missed a 23-yarder or something that would have put the Chiefs game in overtime.
Did you see the Chiefs game, by the way, last night?
Yes.
Matthew Wright, chip shot. He very easily could have hit that thing and gone back the frontwards and missed.
Ravens. They could play the Ravens in the first round. Justin Tucker's like me on the golf course, pulling irons all the time, and I can't figure it out. Houston. They could face Houston. They've had all kinds of problems in the kicking game. This is a gigantic advantage for the Steelers. Not just that he's ridiculously accurate, like maybe the most accurate kicker who ever lived at this point. I'm going to look that up right now, Bob.
He's closing the gap.
But the fact that he can bang him from 54 with no problem, I think he could hit a 60-some yarder if they were in a desperate situation, needed to win a game, and it was Boswell from 61. I think he could hit it. Do you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, his misses this year have been, one of them's excess 60, the other one I think is 58 in a windstorm in Cleveland before it starts snowing. So, you know, I mean, those are tough situations. But, yeah, his leg, his accuracy, all of it is a huge advantage.
It really is. Harrison Butker is the all-time leading kicker.
And he's injured right now.
Yeah, at 89.2%. Tucker's an even 89. The great Eddie Pinheiro is 88.6%. And Boswell is the fourth most accurate kicker who ever lived at 87.8. He might wind up as the greatest kicker who ever lived, and he might be having the greatest season of any kicker. If he finishes, if he does this the rest of the way, and then has a great playoff and hits some memorable field goal, you know, game-winning field goal or two, this might go down as the greatest season of any kicker who ever walked the planet, Bob. What a wonderful point by you.
And it is just a great situation to be in if you're the Steelers. And, you know, you're not going to score every time you get close to the red zone. And if not, you know that you have those points in hand. And so I just think it's huge this time of the year.
412-928-9370, by the way. If you have any thoughts, opinions, feelings on this game. We started out with George Pickens. The Steelers without him, we thought it was a Pickens infomercial for his next contract. Mike Tomlin seems to think he's got the best band of receivers, you know, since what they call the guys in Washington when they used to win, the Smurfs. Is that who they were? What about Pickens not playing in the game? Some conspiracy theories out there. Bob and I not buying those for the time being, but we both have our ears perked just in case. All of that. And then, of course, the gauntlet ahead that we're going to get to in a minute here. I've got some questions for you and Limits. You ready, Limits, to answer these with Bob?
I'm ready.
T.J. Watt had a quiet day. What did you make of that?
I think Jack Conklin knows how to play him. I mean, every time they do, I mean, give credit to him. He's a very good offensive lineman, which is why I took him in our draft, even though there were very slim pickings when it comes to Cleveland over the last 20 years. But he knows how to play him. Now, what I would expect is that T.J. Watt, as the games get more important, you're going to see more from him. Even when he's not sacking a quarterback, though, he's one of the best tacklers from behind. He closes quickly in those plays, and he can be still very impactful. He was on the first play of the game where he, Chubb, 5-yard loss, boom, just like that. That's the kind of stuff he can do.
Surprised that he did not have a meaningful sack in this game.
I thought he'd have four.
Yeah, I thought he'd have at least two. Because of the way that, I mean, the whole Myles Garrett thing in him, that's real. Like, that's a real rivalry between two players that are elite at the top of their game. So, in knowing historically how good T.J. Watt typically is against Cleveland, for him to go 0-for in both games, surprising. But it opened the door for Cam Hayward to have two sacks. And what a season he's
had. What a season. That's an all-pro first team right there with eight sacks.
That's a Hall of Famer right there,
Bob.
Yeah,
it is. He's just putting more credentials so that when his name is up, he'll be...
I think he will get. I don't think it'll be easy. I don't think it will because there will be people who have Steeler fatigue.
No, but defensive linemen who make the kind of impact he has in the sack department, you don't find many like
he
that.
He may get 100 before it's said and done. I'm with you, Bob. Actually, I'm with both of you. If you would have told me before these games that TJ, given his history against Cleveland, would have no sacks against the Browns in two games, I would have been stunned. Having said that, and I wrote this today, Bob, and just a little item in there in the Post-Gazette, mm-hmm. was that this is, to me, is more of a case of the other guys get paid too. Jack Conklin's been hurt a lot. I think he's only played 7 games this year. He played 1 last year. But when he's healthy and right, and he got some help, don't get me wrong, yesterday. Mm-hmm. But when he's healthy and right, I don't know there are too many that are better. He won the matchup.
He did. So give him credit.
But they still had a decent pass rush. They still had turnovers. Highsmith's return was still big. And that leads to our next question, Bob, which is, what about the injuries from yesterday? How significant?
Well, Ogunjobi is somebody who, you know, when he gets in there, you notice him. He has a hamstring, so we don't know how long that's going to be. But I would not expect him to play, and that does thin out your defensive line. You need other guys to come up, and they've had guys who've rallied like that. Loudermilk has done it. There have been others. Who's the guy they brought in? He made a big play earlier.
Lowry?
Dean Lowry. He's been terrific when called upon. So somebody like that has to step up and do more if he can't play. But
Else came out? Jackson?
Well, Jackson was down. I thought it was far worse. He was back in the game.
Yeah, he came back.
Yeah, so is there anyone? I don't think there's anyone else, is there?
No, I think that was pretty much it.
And Pickens, of course. That's
right.
The big one.
I mean, those are both big ones. Pickens being infinitely bigger, of course. The only star player in the game who probably did less than TJ was Myles Garrett. His sack was totally meaningless. He gives the little finger wag to the crowd.
They were down by 2 scores.
Just come on, man.
They controlled him. Do you have his little quote after the game?
Yes.
A limitless wonder? Let's hear it.
At the end of the game when the crowd's chanting Cleveland sucks and all that stuff, is that something that you hold on to for a long time, I imagine, and use as motivation going forward and years to come and all that?
Oh, yeah.
What do you hope is the end result of that?
We'll see him again next year. So, end result is, you know, they have that same energy and when we come to their house next year.
Okay, Miles, we'll be looking forward to that one. Can't wait. What a joke they are, Bob. Seriously. What a joke of a franchise they are.
And now they're going to have, you know, next year, Deshaun Watson will be back, I imagine, at some point, and they have to deal with that dead money hit and all that stuff. And, man, terrible decision making.
And Winston is obviously not the guy. Obviously.
No.
I mean, he's living proof that it ain't the ones you save, it's the ones you let in, to use a goalie example there, Bob. A goalie metaphor, if you will. Will you?
Right. No, and absolutely true. Which segues down the road. We should talk about Tristan Jarry and how he's played well in 4 of his last games.
Maybe tomorrow, Bob.
Maybe tomorrow. I'm just throwing it out since you made a goalie analogy.
I will, yes. Do you guys agree? Here's another question with Jameis Winston, who said the Pittsburgh Steelers didn't beat the Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns beat the Cleveland Browns. Bob?
To a degree they did. But the Steelers had to respond to the mistakes they made. And if you look at it, they did. You know, right before halftime, Hopkins misses a kick. You know, that's 3 points they threw away, and it could have offset the 54-yarder that Boswell hit.
Boy, does he stink.
Then, to start the third quarter, a big return by Jerome Ford results in the Steelers stiffening up. Here comes Hopkins again. This time he compromises and goes wide right after going wide left. What do they do immediately? They move down the field, score a touchdown. 4th and 1, and what happens? Landon Roberts shoots in like a missile. Heat-seeking missile, baby. Next, and he gets Ford down to a 6-yard loss. What do they do immediately? Capitalized, turn it into a touchdown of Freiermuth. Every time Cleveland made a mistake, the Steelers capitalized on it. And to me, that's winning football. But it also contributes to your loss if you're Cleveland. You screwed up, but you're used to screwing up.
I mean, territorially, it was maybe a little bit of a Browns advantage, but probably not now that I think about it, because they rolled up a bunch of their yards when it was 27-7. He's wrong about that. And by the way, I credit the defensive coaches in this game, too. I heard Tomlin talking before the game about minimizing Njoku. They minimized him until the game was out of reach. He got junk yards. Same with Judy. They did a great job on him. I thought it was a really good defensive plan for the most part. And even if it was relatively even territorially, who gives a crap? There's a reason that Tomlin is 19-0 against the Browns at home, and I think it's largely because he just stands back and waits for them to be the Browns at some point, and they never disappoint, Bob. They never disappoint. 19-0 in the regular season. So, I don't know, Jameis Winston saying the Browns beat the Browns. I guess if the Browns could play the Browns and the Browns only every week limits, they'd be 17-0.
I think it's partially true that the Browns beat themselves when you miss two field goals. Jameis throws a bad pick, and it's just Cleveland. They're awful. But the Steelers commanded that second half. The Steelers proved that they were the better team and the more dominant team in the second half of football. And I don't think that's necessarily surprising, but basically what all the players said after the game is it was not a revenge game. It was a get-back game. It was get-back-to-who-we-are type of game. And I think that they proved that they're just clearly a better football team than Cleveland.
I agree with the limitless wonder, Bob. And by the way, if they think that Dustin Hopkins beat them, well, they might be right on one hand. But on the other hand, why haven't they cut him by now then?
I mean, well,
how many times are you going to go to that well?
But all three kickers in the AFC North opposite Boswell are struggling. McPherson missed two critical field goals, and the Chargers lost to them. You know, they could have won that game, the Bengals. It would have made it for a very different game heading into Pittsburgh, I think. But then you have, you know, Tucker having his struggles. You have Hopkins having his struggles. It's not easy to find a reliable guy. And right now, there's nobody better than Chris Boswell.
He's 3 for his last 9. So if he beat you, if your own guy beat you, it's your fault for still having him on the roster. And by the way, did anybody tell Kevin Stefanski that his team is 3-9? He played this thing like it was the AFC title game in terms of being really careful and not taking chances and not going forward. Doing. You're punting from the Steelers 39 down 27-7. You're punting from their 39. I know it was 3rd and 24, but there was another situation early in the game. It was like 4th and 7, 4th and 5 in Steelers territory. Kevin, it doesn't matter anymore. You're done. You're either 4-9 or 3-10. You might as well go for it and not punt from well into Steelers territory twice in the game, Bob. What is he doing?
Yeah, I don't know. But I will say this, that Pat Freiermuth has responded. So, Lucas, all you got to do is you can open up your DMs for him, potentially.
Wow.
And he will take care. He's a good dude. He knows how important fans are and making dreams come true, especially this time of the year.
How about this limitless wonder? Huh?
That is the reach that Bob has.
No, I
how
just
about that?
It's unparalleled.
Hey, when you have good guys, and he's a good guy. There are a lot, and I'm glad to see he's more involved. I hope it increases. But so, Lucas, if you're listening, I guess go to your DMs and see what you can do. If not, let me know, and I'll make sure you get the right contact.
Did you send it to Pat? Because I didn't see him say anything on Twitter.
DMs.
Bob has ways of getting a hold of these people without doing it in public limits. Are you kidding?
No, but...
Oh, I know that.
He's got the longest reach since Joey Penalty Jr.
If there was anything on Twitter, though, I'm sure Lucas would have wanted to see it.
Well, some things, you know, you can't put it all out there. I mean, we've become a transparent society, but there are some things that shouldn't go out, right?
Well, yeah, right. I agree with that. I didn't know if Pat, like, quote tweeted it and said, sure, man, would love to sign it for you.
Well, he's been listening, which is good, too. Thank you, Pat. Also, and what is Penn State, man? They got it.
Oh, yeah, Pat.
SMU.
Got it done.
You got to get a home game win. Anyway, yeah, so, you know, Lucas, just open up your DMs, and he'll figure out the rest. Are you listening still, Lucas? Or now that you've become famous, you've just turned it off.
He did become famous in a hurry, thanks to you. Bob, did you hear me say you have the longest reach since Joey Penalty Jr.? He actually had a good game yesterday, but he did have a penalty.
That was one of those retaliation kind of things.
No, as far as the cut,
no, I'm not. I'm just saying the rest of it was okay.
He was good. He was good. I think the concern the previous week was overblown. I used a basketball analogy before Tomlin did.
About the Shaq?
Yeah,
when
just
you're
about
against Shaq, use your fouls.
About roughing a guy up, not letting him go off on you,
right.
Making him make free throws. To me, the penalties are like free throws. All right, here's some free yards, but you ain't going off today. And I don't think either of those Bengals receivers did that day. I don't. I thought it was good. All right, Bob, let's take one last look at this football game and let it forever be forgotten after that, can we? I mean, it was really a forgettable game. We're going to do our grades, and then we're going to look ahead. Because now, I don't want to use hyperbole here, but I don't know that the Steelers have ever had a gauntlet like this in the history of the franchise. Three games in 10 days.
Made worse by the NFL and its desire to go on Christmas Day, even on 3 days rest.
I mean, the hypocrisy of the NFL is unspeakable. It really is. We're concerned about player safety. We're going to throw you out there three times in 10 days. To me, well, I'll get into all this. I mean, there's so much to that story. 412-928-9370. We're going to do our grades and then forever hold our peace about this game. 50-minute mark on the fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge Route 19 Peters Township. Celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Listen to this show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. So grade along with us. Register your thoughts on everything that happened yesterday. Ask Freiermuth if that, did they ask him after the game if that punt was a tribute to
that
George
Pickens?
Could have been.
So Pat, if you're still listening, get back to us on that one.
Well, no, he was asked.
What did he say?
And he said that somebody has to get fined this week.
Keep up the streak of fines. Pickens. But I will tell you this. I think that form indicated to me that he's done that a lot
before. He has absolutely punted, Bob. And I think Lucas Boyd has returned punts, if I'm not mistaken, by the catch. Is that Freiermuth calling Bob live on the radio right now, Limits? I think it might be. This is incredible.